Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grand Teton City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians will be along with updates from their regions. We'll hear all about the agricultural energy markets with Harry Cooney. He's from GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll close out our program as usual by taking a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Tuesday afternoon. From the wheat pit, the soft red, July harvest month at $6.49.5, a settlement price up 3.75. September there at $6.58.25, up 3.25 as well. The hard red in Kansas City down 2.75 at $6.74. July corn futures, $6.72.75, 17.25 higher. September at $5.33, a penny and a half higher. December corn at $5.02.75, up 1.5, and March at $5.14.75, a penny and 3/4 higher. May corn futures 5.22.5, up 1.75, and July contract 5.29.5, up 1.5. That for next year. July soybeans for the day at $15.73. They finished 2.5 cents higher. The August futures were down 2.75 at the end of the day at $14.33.5 in September. At $12.93.75, down 2.5 cents. November futures 12.42.5, 3/4 lower. January soybeans down 3/4 as well at $12.48.5. And the next year's March at $12.50.25, down 1/4 cent. Bean meal futures at $4.87, up 2.20. And the bean oil on the afternoon, 7 cents higher at $46.92. Live cattle futures from the CME group at $121.90 in the August contract, down 27.5. October at $125.92.5, down 20. August feeders at $150.90 per 100 pounds, down 32.5, and the September's unchanged on the day at $153.32.5. Actually, they did not trade. October at $154.90, a nickel higher on the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Lean hog futures on the day in the July at 101, down 7.5 cents, and the August at 96.62.5, down 37.5. Here's the outside markets. August crude oil at $99.51. That's $1.52 higher for the day. August RBOB gasoline wholesale price $2.78 even, up 4.2 cents. And ethanol trading at $2.41, unchanged in the July. August, though, at $2.31.1. That's $0.01 lower. And the difference between the August contracts is now 46.9 cents in the spread for RBOB gasoline to ethanol. And that's about 5.5 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.65.8, 8.1 cents higher. And the diesel fuel at $2.90 even, up 2.6 cents. Gold futures on the day trading at $1,243.40 as they closed, finished $12.30 lower, and the U.S. dollar at 83.54 is 0.49 higher at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. With a 68-degree temperature outside, we are headed for the afternoon to a high of 70 degrees, so almost there, but we may not make it yet. North-northwest winds at about 14 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall this afternoon set at 60%. Tonight, showers are likely, 60% precipitation chance as well. Most of those become before 8 p.m., and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 8. The low this evening, 60 degrees on a north wind at 5 to 9 miles an hour. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a high near 77 on a calm wind. Wednesday, a 40% chance of showers before 8 p.m. in the evening. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension. Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of July 2013. On the phone line with us from New Market, Indiana, is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It sure looked like the squeeze might have been on in Chicago for the December corn futures. What happened?
Well, on the December corn futures, we tried to push them below $5. We got them down there. We saw the July recover quite nicely, and shoot back up and regain a good share of yesterday's losses. And I think that pulled the December corn back up above $5 by the end of the day, Todd. And, but we're still below that 5-10 gap that was left on Monday. So, you know, there's still some technical problems in there. And a lot of feeling is that the weather stays the way we're looking now for the rest of the month, which we know it's a long time enough forecast. Generally, it's good for 2-3 days at a time, isn't telling us the month. But it does look like we're going to be hard-pressed to get back over 5.25 for the time period.
As we heard yesterday and a little bit later in the program from the state statisticians, the corn crop is in better condition this week than it was last week by 2 percentage points.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've had ideal weather. I mean, if you were to just ask, if I had been gone all spring and just come back home now, I'd say maybe we were a week behind, not 3 weeks behind like the planning really was. And I think we're seeing that catch up a lot over the country. You know, the drought conditions are basically gone. We've had tremendous growing weather in a lot of places. I think the one thing that's been pointed out since the report last Friday is, though, that we did lose corn acres in some of the I states or the bigger areas, and some of our pickup in acreage was in the areas that don't do quite as well on yield as like we would say the major states do, and so we could see a little bit of setback and maybe shouldn't be quite as optimistic of wanting to increase the yield like some of the traders are talking about.
Given the current December corn futures price and the crop insurance price, are farmers just to lay aside the market at the moment?
You know, depending on whether you have anything sold or not, whatever, we'd like to wait and see if we can't get one weather scare to pop us up over the 5-10 to 5-25 type bracket. Right here, we're sort of sitting tight. You know, the 4th of July is generally quite a turning point. And there we are later this year going into it, so we might have to add another week onto that to watch. But we'd like to think that something positive could come along, but we do want to be aggressive sellers on that pop.
Are there things that are positive for the bean market?
Things are positive for the bean market. Well, sure. You know, the tightness of the old crop beans, still very big out there. We are late on the bean crop. We do have a few problem areas. Some of the beans aren't quite as good, even though the crop ratings are looking like it that way. But we've got some tremendous, world competition in both the corn and the bean market now, Todd. And we're also looking there. We get November beans back up in that 1270 bracket. We want to be aggressive sellers again.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
The livestock producers, I think they're just looking forward to some of this wheat finally getting harvested and be able to maybe pick up a little wheat to blend into their rations that way or sort of offset some of the tight July corn prices.
Well, speaking of which, maybe we better cover the wheat because harvest is underway, at least where it can be, though. It's been really wet. I've heard really good from the southern part of Illinois yields. How about you?
The yields have been very good so far in what we've seen harvested. We're in the 70 to 80 bushel bracket, basically what's been cut around here. It looks tremendously good. We know that the Arkansas-Memphis area down in that way had a very good wheat harvest. They were all very happy with it, and it's coming off good. We saw Egypt pop back into the wheat market today. Unfortunately, it was out of the Black Sea area. Basically, they were 20 cents under us as far as it goes. They did secure the wheat in range of 249 to 253 metric ton, and that was about 60,000 metric tons. So, in a surprise, because they were not expected to be in the market now.
Wayne, we'll talk with you again for Commodity Week this week.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us on the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It did show a silky number this week for corn that now sets at 3% on the rolling five-year average. It is usually 9%. The condition of the corn crop across the nation continues to improve. Last week, it was 65% in good to excellent condition. This week, it is 67%. In good to excellent condition. Taking a look at the soybeans around the nation, 96% are planted. That compares to 98% usual. And 91% of that crop has emerged. The five-year average is 94%. The crop is in 67% good to excellent condition. That is well above last week as well, which was also at 65%. Let's now take a look at the Iowa numbers. 99% of the corn crop there is in the ground. Iowa farmers have virtually wrapped up their planting. 96% of the crop emerged about 3 weeks behind normal. The warmer weather, though, helping the condition of the corn crop. The good to excellent rating increased by 3 percentage points from the previous week. Corn condition now rated in 44% good and 13% excellent condition across the state of Iowa. 96% of the soybean crop has been planted. It's about 2 weeks later than normal. 89% of the soybean crop emerged. And soybeans also benefited from the warmer weather, with condition ratings improving last week, now said to be in 56% good to excellent condition. Here are the state statisticians from around the Midwest with some more updates.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. One more week of wet weather slowed fieldwork across the state last week, and rainfall totals averaged nearly 2 inches, or almost twice normal for the week. The rainfall aided crop growth, and the corn crop grew by an average of 11 inches last week. Across the state, corn plants are now 32 inches high on average. That compares to 62 inches 1 year ago and 47 inches for the five-year average. Soybeans are now 97% planted and 93% emerged. Some producers are still waiting for a chance to plant double crop soybeans. 2% of soybean acres are blooming, compared to 23% 1 year ago and 9% normally. Wheat harvest reached 45% complete, compared to 94% last year and 64% for the five-year average. Crop conditions generally improved a little last week. The corn crop is now 7% in very poor to poor condition, 24% fair condition, and 69% good to excellent. Soybeans are 5% in very poor to poor condition, 23% fair, and 72% good to excellent. Wheat acres are now 5% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 73% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Nebraska Crop Progress Report. Above normal temperatures combined with limited rainfall across the western two-thirds of Nebraska to stress dryland crops and limit pasture growth. However, rainfall amounts of up to an inch were common across much of the eastern third of the state. A few southern wheat fields were cut at week's end, with harvest expected to gain momentum in southern counties in the coming days. Hay harvest continued active, with brome and wild grasses being cut for hay. Corn and soybean conditions were mostly good statewide, with soybean blooming just underway. Wheat conditions rated fair to poor, however. 75% of the crop was turning color, and 11% was considered ripe. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. There were a total of 4.1 days rated suitable for field work in Minnesota during the week. This is the most thus far this year. 97% of the corn crop has emerged. Corn grew an average of 7 inches statewide and was 17 inches tall. This compares to 47 inches last year and the average of 32 inches tall. Corn condition decreased slightly to 58% good or excellent. That compares to last week's 59%. Soybean planting is nearly finished at 96% complete. Soybean emergence advanced 12 percentage points to reach 93% emerged. The average soybean height was 5 inches tall. That compares with last year's 12 inches and the average of 9 inches tall. Soybean conditions also declined slightly to reach 2% very poor, 6% poor, 33% fair, 53% good, and 6% excellent. 84% of spring wheat had reached the jointing or beyond stage. That's behind last year's 100%, but equal to the normal pace. Spring wheat condition remained at 63% good or excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 30th. Total precipitation from Monday, June 24th through Sunday, June 30th, ranged from a half inch at Francisville to 5.23 inches at Evansville. Thunderstorms moved across the state during the week, causing some wind damage. Some southern counties received heavy rainfall, leaving standing water in many crop fields. The major field crops showed good growth with the warm temperatures early in the week and ample moisture. Wet weather kept spraying of herbicides and cutting of hay to a minimum. Corn condition improved and is rated 79% good to excellent, compared with only 19% last year at this time. This planting of soybeans is nearing completion in most areas, with the exception of some southern counties and double-cropped acreage. Soybean condition is rated 74% good to excellent, compared to 20% last year at this time. Winter wheat harvest continued where weather permitted, with good yields being reported. 27% of the winter wheat acreage has been harvested, compared with 88% last year and 47% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 76% good to excellent, and a minimal amount of wheat acreage was blown down during the week's storms. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You can always hear them on a Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Now that we've taken a look at the corn crop in the Midwest, let's go around the planet and see what things look like in other parts of the world. Ukraine, of course, sits right there on the Black Sea in the eastern part of Europe. It was once called the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. And today, as you'll hear, farmers there are moving away from wheat and oats and sunflowers, and they're opting instead to grow corn. Bigger farm operations and the government of Ukraine have seen opportunity in the seaports at Odessa. There's a world and a world of potential in the export market. So with the aid of U.S. companies like Pioneer Hybrids, they've begun to switch acres from wheat to corn. Michael Lee is the managing director of an investment farm operating about 50,000 acres across the western part of Ukraine, where he lives and works. The farm is in its third year of operation on silty clay loam soils. He says the corn yield, it still lags.
Not as good as they should be. We've got lots of issues to do with the whole structure of farming in Ukraine is pretty difficult, but we budget for about 6 tons, but we're happy with 5.
6 metric tons is about 95 bushels to the acre. 5 is about 80 bushels to the acre. He says they started planting corn about the second week of May this season, working to finish up by the end of the month. They were delayed through the first week of June.
which is probably pushing it a little bit far, but operations on 20,000 hectares mean you sort of push the windows at either end of the season. And we had a late spring, I think everybody did, didn't they, in the Northern Hemisphere. We had a late spring getting underway this year.
The corn crop in Ukraine looks good at the moment, says Michael Lee. He adds, as all farmers would, that that's usually the case in late June to early July. He says farmers in Ukraine have been turning to corn, he calls it maize, as an alternative crop over the past 3 years.
My explanation is it generates cash dollars into the country, so they, you know, they can export it and bring cash into the country. I mean, I'm not an economist, but my guess is that the country is generally short of cash, and exporting maize out through the Black Sea ports is a sort of a government policy to try and generate cash back into the country. So there's a lot more maize being grown, and other crops are being suppressed.
Maize, corn, is not being suppressed by the government, and consequently is the, let's in this case call it, the next best alternative crop, and for good reason.
Ukraine's just signed a big contract with China, so they're looking to export. I can't remember the numbers, but it was it was a lot of maize going out to China for the next 3 to 5 years, I think, from memory, where they've signed a grain for machinery contract or a collaboration.
It's actually a credit for commodities deal signed in the fall of 2012, very similar to the oil for loans deals made with countries like Venezuela. In this case, the trade is a $3 billion line of credit for 3 million tons, or 120 million bushels of corn, annually to be purchased at market price. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the closing market report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, the second day of July. Let's check the agricultural energy markets on the phone line with us from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, is Harry Cooney. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start off with the price of gasoline at the pump. What do we see, or at least what do you think we'll see, as we head into the holiday?
Well, the driving public has has the prices of gasoline on sale here as you get ready for the big holiday weekend. I think the 4th of July holiday weekend is one of the heaviest traveled holiday weekends of the year, and they'll find that gasoline's on sale at the pump. I mean, a lot of central Illinois pump prices probably peaked out around $4 and are now down anywhere from probably as low as $3.10 or $3.15 up to around $3.30 or so. Some of them still up around $3.40 to $3.50. But I think people are going to find a sale at the pumps in whatever area you're at compared to what we were seeing back just a month ago when they peaked out probably around just after Memorial Day. I think about the first week in June is about when they peaked out. So here, as the driving public heads out for the holiday weekend, they'll find some great deals, at least better deals, I should say, than what we had there for a while at the pumps.
I guess that contrasts with what's been happening with the price of crude oil.
Well, that's exactly right. The crude oil market has really turned exciting here. The crude oil market had not traded up to almost $100 here for probably a year or more. And right here now, it's looking at trying to come up to around the $100 level. I think today we closed around 99.5 or somewhere right up close to that area, and it's new highs for the move. This is the highest that we've seen here in the past several months, that's for sure. And so right now it's looking bullish. Seems like it wants to go even higher levels. Some reasoning for it, some new Middle East turmoil. I think Egypt has been in the news a lot here just recently. Also there for a while, Syria was. So right now, kind of looking at a move on higher.
Thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
The It's National Anise Day. The drink has its best popularity in France, Italy, Portugal, Mexico, and Spain. The sweet liquor is made by crushing 16 different seeds and plants and blending it with a neutral spirit and sugar syrup. On this day in agricultural history in 1869, the ship Novelty landed in Boston, Massachusetts. In its hold was more than 84,000 gallons of molasses, shipped on a new principle, not in casks, but in bulk in large tanks. In 1931, Stephen Babcock died, an American agricultural chemist. Babcock is often called the father of the scientific dairy industry. He developed a test to measure the fat content of milk, which helped improve the quality of commercial dairy production. It was the first time a standard for the fair payment of milk was established, and it aided in the production of cheese and butter. And in 1932, Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, was born. Perhaps one of Wendy's best advertising campaigns occurred in 1984, when Clara Peller looked into the TV lens and exclaimed, "Where's the beef?" The line was eventually used by Walter Mondale in a debate with Gary Hart in the Democratic primary election. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the closing market report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is here. It is cool and gray and cloudy, and in the southern part of the state of Illinois, at least, it's really wet. Don, what can we expect over the next 24 hours or so?
Well, we're going to continue with this cool and occasionally wet, unsettled weather here for a little bit longer, at least for the next, let's say for the next 5 or 6 days. An area of low pressure will park itself over the nation's midsection, keeping us a little cooler than normal and occasionally giving us shower and thunderstorm activity. And this is a pattern that's going to probably hold probably through it, say, the next 7 days. Now, after that, maybe around days 9 or 10, I do see it getting warmer, a little bit drier, and a little bit more of a seasonable weather pattern. But I would say through at least July 9th, 10th, around that time frame, we're going to have more of the same.
And after the 9th and 10th, do we warm up and do we get some good growing degree days that might make their way through the Midwest?
I think we will see the development of some warmer temperatures, better accumulation of growing degree days. It's not going to be a rapid ramp up to a lot of hot weather, so it's going to be gradual. But I do see the second half of July warmer, a little bit more typical in terms of summertime temperatures and conditions. No heat wave, but at least I think we're going to have a period of time where we will be able to catch up a little bit on those growing degree days.
Wheat farmers out west and those here in the Midwest, too, really would like to get in and do some harvest. It appears that maybe that's not going to happen very easily.
No, it's not. I think for the next week or so, there's still going to be some interruptions, still some wet areas that will still cause some problems. That may be a little bit late for some folks. I think the further west you are, the better the opportunity. The further into the eastern areas where there still needs to be wheat harvested, that's where there's going to be some problems.
Let's bounce around the planet. Where would we like to start?
Well, let's go over into Europe. Most of Europe is, for the most part, looking at a fairly typical weather pattern. It's a little bit on the dry side for both western and eastern Europe. No one excessively dry, but there's also not a lot of precipitation, especially in the long term. And temperatures are going to be at or a little bit above normal with the warmest temperatures in the Ukraine.
And speaking of Ukraine, they started their harvest earlier than usual, so I suspect it will proceed quite nicely at this point.
Yeah, I don't see any really big problems for them. There's a bit of an uptick in rain chances next week, but for the week ahead, I don't see any delays.
Have you been following the weather in the growing regions of China?
Yes, and China hasn't been all that bad. And across East Asia, China, those areas are looking at a fairly typical pattern, both with precipitation and also some temperature conditions that are going to be close to normal in many of the key growing areas. So steady as she goes in China right now.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.